truth, right? We prove it over and over again. Good times, bad times, God. There's one thing that's been faithful, one thing that's been steady. God is there. And it's good to be reminded of. 1 Peter chapter 2, at the front of our bulletin this morning, part of that verse was in there, and Brother Bauman put Roman numerals on it. And a little math quiz for you. What are those numbers? Uh-oh. This is not good. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this. I could pull tight, but I don't think that would ever recover. Hey, Brother Smith. How are you? Good. Could you, I don't know, that text that you sent out to the guys last night, some of the guys about just traveling back, you want to share that testimony just real quick? Just while, number one, it would be a blessing. Number two, it would give me a little time to untangle this rat's nest.
Sure. So, as I was driving, a 15-hour trip back last night, you know, we had plenty of time to think on the road. I was listening to the radio and listening to a few things and got to thinking about, thinking about a conversation I had with my pastor this week and thinking about, where I came from and where I am now and thinking about how important that the small things are in church that people don't really think too much about or don't remember. We don't think much about the cleaning crew, but when we come in here, everything's nice and
yes.
Good, right? So it's the behind the stage people that actually get things done, around the church. And one of the biggest things in my life was, as you all know, the bus ministry and the faithfulness of the bus ministry and the people picking us up. Our church, they drove 30 minutes every day one way to pick us up for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night service. And I'm glad that, we were not, my family is very dysfunctional and there was no home supervision in our house and never had a father and never had that man figure to teach you what's right and wrong or anything. And I was thinking about, had it not been for the church and had it not been for Brother Joe and having that bus, that little 15-passenger bus that picked us up every day or every Sunday, and the bus driver that dealt with it, because it was the same guy that drove for probably 10 years every Sunday. And he passed away, but, in that time, though, I put a knife on the guy. I remember being in the church, and there was people that would say, lady told me, that, and the preacher, that, you should just get rid of them, kick them out. They'll never amount to anything. They'll never be anything.
Appreciate our bus workers and the bus ministry, and thankful for that. Are we good? I had to unplug it. All right, good. All right, turn me up a little bit. All right, sounds good. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 2. Same thing with our Sunday school teachers. It's like, are these kids getting anything other than snacks, And sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But you be faithful in the little things. Those little things turn into big things. And that's how that goes. And, so many times we're looking for, in our life, to do the big thing. I'm waiting for that big opportunity, and I'll take it, and then that's when I'll do something great. You'll do great big things by doing a lot of little things together. It's in the faithfulness of the little things. Now, certainly, if the Lord gives you opportunity to do a big thing, certainly take it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you for the songs and even the offertory, Lord, that just minister to our hearts. God, thank you for how good you are to us. And Lord, I'm thankful for our church, people that you've brought together today. Thank you for Haley and Tyler being here today. And Lord, I pray for those that are ill. But God, as we put all this together, Lord, if you don't show up here, it's all waste. Lord, I beg of you again that you'd minister to the needs that are here, not because of me, but because of you. Lord, I pray that you use your word in a mighty way today, and that you would challenge us and encourage us and speak to our hearts as individuals. And Lord, help us. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation." A chosen generation. That means God has a specific plan and a specific design and a specific purpose for you right here, right now. He says this, a royal priesthood. That word priest is, we're familiar with it in the Old Testament. The priest played a significant role in the Old Testament. We looked at that a few weeks ago. Remember when we had the tabernacle up here and we were looking at all the parts of the tabernacle and how much of a role the priest plays in that. His job of making the sacrifices and then the high priest going into the most holy place. Certainly a significant role in the nation of Israel. Look at Leviticus chapter 21. As I was studying for the job of the priest, I had forgotten about this one important thought. In Leviticus chapter 21, we'll spend the majority of our time, honestly, in the New Testament, but I do want to draw some important thoughts concerning the priest to make application in the New Testament. We know that the high priest had to be in the lineage of Aaron. We knew that, right? But as I was studying it, I forgot about there were some physical attributes that were necessary to be a priest. Kind of similar to not just anybody can fly fighter jets, right? How many of you are in the Air Force? Anybody in the Air Force? Mr. Lau? Mr. Lau cannot fight fighter jets. He is not tall enough, right? You got to be, I think it's like 5'10 or 6 foot or something like that. You got to have a certain physique. Your body has to be able to withstand certain G-force on you. As much as I would like to fly fighter jets, I physically am unable to. I mean, unless I bought my own fighter jet, the United States Air Force is not allowing it. Same with the priesthood. There were certain physical limitations. So that, as I read over that again, at the beginning of it, I thought, well, that's not fair. Say you're the son in the lineage of Aaron, and here, let's read through in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17. It says, "Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of thy seed and their generation that hath any blemish, let them not approach to offer the bread of his God." You could not fulfill the role of the priest if he had a major birthmark. I thought, well, God gave him that. It's not like he's going around painting his face or some sort of blemish. That wasn't fair. Verse 18, "And whatsoever him, whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach." Look at this. Here's the definition. A blind man, which makes sense. You don't want to be messing with fire and knives if you're blind. Or a lame. Or he that hath a flat nose. Or anything superfluous. I guess that would be the opposite of the flat nose. If you had a very large nose. If anything was above, over, and beyond. Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed. Or a crooked back. Look at this, verse 20. Or a dwarf. Nathan, don't you dare say a word. Or that hath a blemish in his eye. Or be scurvy or scabbed or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy, only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Let's not lose that thought. Let's think about that. Say, I can't stop thinking about the flat nose thing. All right, I get it. Go over to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. High priest. A priest. There were physical limitations. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they shall seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That's what the priest did. To summarize and not have to read all of the law and all the breakdown in Leviticus and then again in Deuteronomy about the priest. Pretty much Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7 says that their job was that they would go between man and God. That the priest's lips should keep knowledge and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. A messenger. In Matthew chapter 27, turn over there, in verse 51. 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. This is the death of Christ. And what happens? In the most holy place, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, in the tabernacle, in the temple, the veil was torn in two. And one, before, this had never happened before, the normal common man could now see inside the most holy place. Never happened before. Spiritually speaking, that's what happened. The role of the Old Testament priest had been done away with the death of Christ. So are you sure? When was the last time you offered a sacrifice and bulls and goats for your sins? We don't do that anymore. We don't need that anymore. Why? Because one time. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. So you're giving me a lot of information. My brain is slightly on overload right now. Hold on, I'll summarize it together and then we'll move forward together. We'll kind of lock arms. I am aware of the time and we'll do our best to move through. Having therefore, brethren, boldness... Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, that veil was torn, so now I can go into the most holy place. By what authority can I enter into the most holy place? By the authority of the blood of Christ. See, the blood of Christ did something. The blood of Christ took this lame, blind, marred person and made him without blemish. My blemish wasn't necessarily physical. To fulfill the role of the priest in the New Testament wasn't a physical one, but a spiritual one. And to fulfill the role of the New Testament priest, I had to have no blemish, no mark of sin. And to get rid of that, I needed the blood of Christ. And just like in Leviticus chapter 21, and we read that list of physical limitations, hey, there is a spiritual parallel to that. I was blind. I was lame. How many times did we see Christ healing the lame man, the blind man? What was that? And I can make identification. I had no vision. I had no knowledge of things. I couldn't even walk in myself. I needed Christ for absolutely everything. And now having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What was torn that day? Yes, the body of Christ was torn apart. The veil to the temple was torn apart, both symbolic of what happened that day. And having a high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And look, and our blemishes are washed away, and our bodies washed with pure water. I no longer think corruptly. Why? Because Christ has changed my thinking. And now, I go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're part of something much grander than just you and I as individuals. We're part of the priesthood of the body of believers. And just if we remember Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7, our job, we have a job. Just like the priest in the Old Testament had a job, we too have a job. And what was the priest all about? The priest was about connecting man to God. The priest was about sacrifices. That's what the priest did. Offered sacrifices time and time and time again. The prophet would take a message from God and bring it to man, but the priest would take the message of man and make him good with God. That has not changed at all. Our role as the priest is to offer sacrifices, to help people connect with God. The first sacrifice that we need is found in Romans chapter 12. Now we'll spend the majority of our time in the New Testament. With this over-umbrellaed thought that we are part of the priesthood of believers. We are part of the royal priesthood of believers. Romans chapter 12. And what do? Priests offer sacrifices. Say, I don't want to be a priest. This past week, I spent some time at my dad's house. My stepmom's mom was there. And she's part of the Greek Orthodox Church. So she's asking me questions. How old is Big Yaya? She's 80s. She's old. There. So she's asking me questions about church and life, and we don't get to see her too often. She lives in Syracuse, and she says, so are you a priest? She asked me. Now, that's a tricky question. Because I know her definition of a priest is a lot different than my definition of a priest. Again, she's part of the Greek Orthodox Church. So I said, no. And she goes, well, will you one day be a priest? No. Would you like to be a priest? No. What's the difference between you and a priest? She asked me. I said, well, we do something similar, but doctrinally speaking, we are different. So you don't want to be a priest? She said, no, I don't. I don't want to be a priest. I didn't have the heart to get into, I'm part of the royal priesthood. I just didn't feel like I could go there in the conversation. But we are all priests. And we all have a job to make sacrifices. Sacrifice number one is to self. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because that's what priests do. They make sacrifices. Personal sacrifices. And in that sacrifice, we are called holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Nowhere in the scriptures do I see God commending and praising Aaron for doing what he was supposed to do. You did great with that oxen. You killed it just like how you did. He just expected him to fulfill the role of the priest. Does the Lord praise us? Sure. He blesses us. But it's our reasonable service to be a priest. It's our reasonable service to sacrifice our will for the will of God. And that is a sacrifice. We give up our life in exchange for what it is that He wants us to do. Can I ask you, when was the last time that you didn't do something because you knew God didn't want you to? When was the last time you made a sacrifice in yourself and said, "Today I am not going to do what I want"? When was the last time that you fulfilled the role of the priest? Not that you killed your cat, not that you killed, but you made a self-sacrifice. See, I think you're taking that verse out of context. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Say, "Pastor, you do this a lot. You ask questions verbally what I'm thinking in my head. How do you do that?" Because I just put myself in your position. And I think maybe you have the same question I do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy." Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. "For if I be offered upon the sacrifice..." If I be offered, the first role of the priesthood is sacrifice of self. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have," what? "Everlasting life." John 3:16. Probably the most quoted verse in all of the Scriptures. But go to 1 John 3:16. Let's look there. 1 John 3:16. How many of you could quote John 3:16? Sometimes I get, I know it's bad to say, but sometimes I get a little tongue-tied and I forget it. 1 John 3:16 though. Keeping John 3:16 in our minds, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now we look at 1 John 3:16. That's way at the end of your Bible. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He hath laid down His life for us." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we as priests, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So I make a personal sacrifice, not only even for my benefit, but for His. I say no to self for Him and for her. The role of the priest is one of sacrifices. And that first sacrifice is ourself. Our self-will. Again, I asked the question, when was the last time you said no to the flesh for anybody else? Are you fulfilling the role of the royal priesthood? Point number two. Number one was self. Point number two, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I have 4 points this morning. All of them start with S, but I couldn't come up with one that made sense and this one. So, one of these things is doing their own thing. Hebrews 13, 15 says this: "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice." Number one, it was of self. Number two, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Number one, the sacrifice of self. Number two, the sacrifice of praise continually. What is that? That's acknowledging the goodness of God and being thankful in all things. Can I tell you? That's not easy sometimes. That's not easy when it's not rolling good. That's difficult when things didn't go according to plan. But as a priest of the royal priesthood, that is my job. That is my duty to God. to offer praise continually. And it defines it for us. With my lips, giving thanks to His name. Because that what that says is, God, you know what you're doing. And I'm thankful. James, look at James. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hey, everything in your life is a gift of God. Say, I didn't like that gift. That gift was difficult. That gift made me uncomfortable. But God says, you ought to praise me for it. You ought to be thankful for it because I know what I'm doing. Giving thanks continually. Giving praise continually. Priests, what do? They make sacrifices. I almost feel like the role of the Old Testament priest was a lot easier than the one in the New Testament. The Old Testament just had to take a goat or a lamb or an oxen. Now, it's tough to kill something that doesn't want to be killed. But what do I have to do? I have to give up myself. I have to acknowledge every single day in every single circumstance that God knows what He's doing, and I need to be thankful for that. Offering the sacrifice of praise continually. Point number three. Hebrews chapter 13. Go right back, one page back probably. In verse 16. The second part of the next verse after verse 15, our sacrifice of praise. But look at this. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. But to do good. Number one, sacrifice of ourself. Number two, sacrifice of praise. Number three, the sacrifice of our substance. Our things. Hey, if I'm going to be a priest, this is what I'm going to have to do. This is the role of the royal priesthood. To do good. Galatians 6:10. As much as have opportunity, do good. Especially. Why did he have to say especially in the household of faith? Because a lot of times our efforts are outward, which is good. But he specifically reminds us to this guy here. And that guy there. And her. And her. And him. Especially under the household of faith. He reminds us. He's like, do good unto all, especially in the house of God. A sacrifice of our substance. When was the last time you said no to you and yes to somebody else for something? Well, I wanted to. Been working with Sophie a lot. Sophie's a sweetheart. Man, I love that girl. I don't know how, but she just grabbed a hold of my heart. Say, so she's naughty. As long as the day is, she's naughty. But I see something in her, I'm telling you, I don't think anybody else sees. And I've been working with her. I had 3 days alone with her. And say, how'd that go? We both survived. We did well. I was trying to work with her, and I said, do you know why you're in my room? As my child, you don't want to be in my room. I said, do you know why you're here? She's like, I have no idea. Says, your daughter talks to you like that? We pick our battles. Listen, all right? You do yours, I'll do mine, and we'll see how it all turns out. She says, I have no idea. I said, well, you were throwing a fit. I was not. And I replayed verbally the last 5 minutes. Did you do that? Yes. That's throwing a fit. I wasn't screaming and yelling. Yes, I understand, but there's another way to throw a fit. So many times we approach the things of God and say, this is my parameters. This is how I've defined what I will do good with. This is how I've defined how I will serve God. And God says, no, there's a much broader scope to that definition. And sometimes the Lord has to redefine what it is to do good. But to do good, he says, the sacrifice of my things for somebody else. So I don't want to do that. You're a priest in the royal priesthood. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14. There's a word in this verse that really helped me. Titus 3:14, almost the end of the book of Titus. We're in the typical Paul book. We're just thanking people. In verse 14, and let ours also, look at this, learn to maintain good works. Know what that means? It's not natural. I have to be taught it. And it takes one priest to show the next priest how to do it. That's how it worked in the Old Testament. The father would take the son and he would train him and show him how to execute the office of the priest. Why? Because just like you and I, although we have the instruction manual, sometimes it just takes somebody. I could read a book about mechanics, but I sure would do much better if I could sit next to Dave and say, explain this to me. Can you show me this? So it is with the high priest. They would read the law, but having someone show them was so much better. So it is with the priest of the royal priesthood. Yes, we can read the rules, but know what we need? We need to learn it. And we need teachers. So that means we have an obligation to fulfill the law of the priest in the New Testament that we couldn't teach this chosen generation, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Teach them what it means to sacrifice self. Teach them what it means to offer praises continually. Teach them what it means, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful, that they would learn to make a sacrifice of their substances. It's a learned and taught responsibility. Lastly, Colossians chapter 4. In verse 12. A person we talked about this past week, Epaphras, in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The priest offering prayers. Our fourth point, making supplication for others. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The supplication of the saints. I like how Job prayed for his children. We learned in Bible Institute this last year, entry-level prayer is praying for yourself. Expert-level prayer is praying for others. How much of your prayer life is spent praying for your needs, as opposed to how much of your prayer life is spent praying for others. So much of the scriptures, do we see that we're admonished to pray for others. Very minimal for ourselves. Because as a priest, as the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, there's an intercession that is made. The priest of the Old Testament would intercede for the man to God. Well, we can do that too, through prayer. We make intercession. 4 points this morning. Number one, the sacrifice of self. Number two, the sacrifice of praise continually. Number three, the sacrifice of our substance. Number four, the sacrifice or the supplication of the saints. Let's all stand. Priesthood of believers. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You know, every year, maybe if you work in a secular place, or maybe a couple times a year, you have a performance review. That's where you sit down with your supervisor or boss, sounds wonderful, right? And they review how you did this past year. Maybe you'll get a raise. Maybe you'll have some action points to work on. That's kind of what we're doing this morning. Here's your qualifications. Here's your responsibility as a priest. Sacrifice of self. How are you doing? Praise is offered continually to God. The sacrifice of your substance, not just to get rid of your stuff, but to do it for others. And how are you making intercession for others? You are part of the royal priesthood. Say, I didn't sign up for that. You did when you asked the Lord to save you. You got moved into a new position. A position that took away all your blemishes and all your marks and made you pure in the eyes of God. And exchanged your sin for the righteousness of Christ. And now we have a job to do. A role to fulfill. Maybe there's an area in your life that you say, I've neglected that a little bit. Maybe this morning you want to use the time of invitation for supplication for somebody else. Maybe you want to come and pray for your children. Come and talk to the Lord about, maybe ask God, say, God, would you review me? Would you try my heart? Would you look in me and see if there's any wicked way in me? Would you clean me up? Why? Because I want to do right in this role. I want to do right for others. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this message. And God, I pray that as you maybe spoke to our hearts, Lord, I pray that we'd be obedient to what it is that you spoke to us about. That we would come and talk to you. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider